right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Apologia TV. That's Luke the Bear.
What up?
And Skinny Jeans.
Hey.
There they are. There's the hands.
You see my hands?
That's right. You can actually see them now. A regular guest on Apologia Radio. In the past, he's one of our worship leaders. He's awesome. And in the providence of God, he ended up in Apologia Studios today on the very day that we're talking about video games.
Yes, sir.
That's perfect. So Apologia TV, you guys can get more at apologiaradio.com. Today we're talking about video games and Christians and a host of other things, I guess, related to that. So let's talk about it. It's kind of a weird thing to bring up on a Christian TV show, video games, because I think most people think today, well, you know, video games are just bad. They're just violent. Christians really shouldn't be in that realm. And so we have a guest on to talk about it. But before we pull him on, I'd like to hear what you have to say about that. I'm going to just kind of throw it at you. Elliot, Christians shouldn't play video games. They're violent. They're stupid. They're a waste of time. You just need to be reading your Bible.
Well, I've heard that argument a lot. And funny enough, I usually hear from people who spend countless hours watching sports all throughout the week.
Yeah.
So I find it somewhat ironic. Luke's looking at me fiercely. But the truth of the matter is it's an avenue of entertainment, but it's grown much, much further beyond that. As people that have followed gaming industries, people like myself, I'm 33 years old. I grew up with Mario. But it's evolved into such an incredible medium now to where you can offer a lot of artistry and storytelling and many different avenues to get more than just a game across. And so I hope that's something that we're going to talk about later today.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, we would say that anything can become idolatry.
Right.
Anything can be abused. We're not saying, like, just as a blanket thing, all video games are great. Go play Grand Theft Auto 5. Like, you know, we're not saying that. We're saying let's talk about it in terms of being a Christian and really putting this whole industry under the feet of Jesus. How would that take place? So in order to do it, we have on – it's weird. We have Colin Gunn on – who we've had on before, talking about his films, talking about the last film we had, the last show we did with Colin Gunn was his film, Wait Till It's Free.
Right.
It's about Christian healthcare, sharing, cost sharing. Awesome episode. Check it out at apologiaradio.com. But Colin Gunn, welcome to the show, brother.
Great to talk to you guys again. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
And the Scottish accent is overwhelming and amazing.
2 weeks in a row.
That's right. 2 weeks in a row with Scottish accents. Apologia Radio is just going up just because the accent. All right, Colin, this is weird. Why in the world are we talking to you about video games on Apologia
TV? It's kind of a weird thing. I'm known as the guy who makes angry documentaries that offend everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that. And I feel like this is almost me coming out of the closet in a sense as a lover of video games. Now, video games have been a passion of mine, but it's also where I've worked for a large part of my professional career. And so I wanted to tell, and I have told this story to several audiences, but I appreciate the opportunity to come on your show to talk about it.
Yeah.
I have an argument that video games are good, that they are important. It's important for us to understand where they came from, how they work, and how we can use them for the kingdom. So that's what I wanted to talk to you guys about. I mean, we can take it anywhere you want because our generation is the gamer generation. So it's just a fun subject to talk about.
Okay.
But it's a very important subject as well, in my opinion.
Okay. Now, let's do that first. Why is it important? Why bother? Why bother talking about this?
Well, I think as Christians, we need to be looking at the world around us and see where people are spending their time. People are spending so much time in video games. We know that as an industry, it has surpassed movies. And as Christians, we've focused on movies, and that's been a good thing. It's helped us. We have a start of a Christian film industry, but we have to look at games as well because that's where people are. That's where I think in God's providence, my attention has been going more and more as we are making these documentaries. We're not stopping making those. We have several that we've shot on the back burner, but we're looking at video games. We want to take stewardship over that area. It's an area that's been around for a good half of a century at least, it's there for the taking. There are very few Christians involved in that sphere that are really taking hold of that medium and using it for the sake of the kingdom, and that's what I want to be doing, and I think that's what you guys are probably wanting to hear a little bit about how we can do that.
Well, yeah, because I think that what we like to speak kind of against and in terms of like, let's try to get away from this, is creating little Christian ghettos and communities where we don't interact with the world or put out the same quality of content and art and entertainment that the world does. And it bothers me because it really just goes to show that like somebody's worldview is going to be put in place Somebody is going to handle entertainment. Somebody's going to do art. And if it's not the Christians bringing it under the feet of Jesus, doing it to the glory of God, then the world is taking over that opportunity to do it. And here's the thing. When the world is doing it, it is bankrupt. It is ugly. It is coated and stained at times with real sin and rebellion against God. And here's the thing. Christians have to wade through all that stuff and interact with it in some way. And I feel like it's time for Christians to really begin to have a long-term view of the future, where we actually see, look, wait a second now, God has us here. How do we do this stuff to the glory of God and really win this whole industry for the glory of Jesus? Because, you know, Christians check out of Hollywood, right, Colin? They check out Hollywood, and as a result of checking out of Hollywood, did the gay agenda check out of Hollywood? Did the leftist agenda check out of Hollywood? Did an unbelieving worldview check out of Hollywood? No, they actually checked right in and they dedicated themselves to it. And now we reap the benefits of that. And so what I think we need to be doing, and I think you're absolutely right, is not abandoning this field, but actually engaging it because it's so big and so important. So,
yeah, I completely agree. And going back to talking about Christians making quality entertainment, I think that's one. This is something that's kind of relatively new compared to film, which has been around for 100 and something years. As Colin said, this has only been around for a quarter of a century in a relative fashion. And people still, I think in the public media, or maybe in a generations older than us, our parents still kind of look at video games as, oh, that's that Mario thing, or that's that thing I pick up and I play on my phone for 5 minutes and put back down. But what they fail to realize is that it's come so far that you can really tell some very emotionally engaging stories. Not that every game has to be that way, but I wanted to point out, and this is something that maybe we can touch on later, but there was a game that recently came out called That Dragon Cancer. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've heard of it, but it was an independent game developed by a couple called Ryan and Amy Green. And it's actually an autobiographical story about their child that got cancer. And the game is actually taking you through what their whole struggle was. And it's Christians that made that game. Mm. And it's getting all kinds of critical appraise. And so that's just one example, I think. You know, I still remember playing Bible Adventures on the NES and seeing that at the Jesus store over here in Arizona.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
And you had to play around as Noah, and you picked up like sheep and tried to throw them in the ark.
And that's the kind of thing I'm trying to avoid, right?
Right.
So, okay, guys, more with Colin Gunn, Luke Pearson, Elliot Hillis right here on Apologia TV. Get more at apologiaradio.com. By the way, if you sign up for All Access, you get all the additional content, including Apologia Academy, Apologia, the after show, everything there at apologiaradio.com. We'll be right back. We're back on with Colin Gunn. Want to do a couple things in the next two segments, and that's talk about the evolution of video games, at least watch a clip of it, maybe take a look at a little bit of the Bible Adventures game. But Colin, can I ask you this? What gives you a bit of experience in this field? Why would we be interviewing you again, not from one of your delicious films, but about video games?
Well, I had a career in video games, and I'm working on a video game right now, so I have 20 years of experience as a digital artist, and so I realized I had limited gifts and capacity, and so I ended up being an animator, computer animator. I have a master's degree in computer animation.
That's awesome.
And once you get that, you pick one course or the other, film or video games, and first job I got offered was, and when I came over to America, in fact, was out in an Atari. I worked for the Atari arcade machines. Now, that dates me a little bit.
It does. So what year was this? What year was this?
So that it was the very end of the industry. I think my presence in an industry means that industry is just about to die. So it was actually 2000, just the start of 2000, okay, that I got offered a job. And it was a dream job. You know, I was out there in Milpitas where the old headquarters of Atari was. And so Midway was running it there. Midway was, you know, Mortal Kombat and all the rest of it. And so I was working in video games back then as an animator, which is primarily how I've most of my work as a professional has been animating for video games. And so that's sort of my brief history into the gaming profession. And then I've worked in the profession since then in different capacities.
Well, what kind of games did you work on?
Well, we've worked in several games. Because I'm an animator, I tend to work on games that involve humans, And I do a lot of motion capture, that sort of thing. But I've also done creature animations. I worked on a project. The arcade machine was Mars, which didn't get published. And I worked on another Gladiator game that didn't get published. But then after that, I went into what's called Serious Games. Serious Games is a segment of the game world. And as you could expect, it's about serious subjects. And so I spent most of my career in serious games and simulations. Now, you wouldn't know any of those games because they're not, you know, for the mass consumer, but they're very interesting and important. It's all about simulation and creating circumstances and using games to train people. And that, for me, when I went that direction, I realized how important games are to train people for good or for bad. I believe it's really important for us to understand this as Christians, but the very negative things that we can say about games in terms of immersion and experience, all the bad things we talk about, I would say that they are actually also the merits of gaming technology as well. Immersion and experience are the things that we get from games that we cannot get elsewhere, and that immersion is actually good for us in terms of training. So that's how I, you know, have a strong defense of why we need to be defenders of video gaming technology and also have a vision for the future and how it can be used.
So immersion in terms of on a level different than like a regular board game or something like that. When you talk about immersion, what do you mean by that?
Well, immersion would be your experience when you play a game. And this is what gamers know. And this is why there's a merit to this, where you experience that you're in a different world. And that's often seen as a very negative aspect. You know, when we talk about games, oh, he's lost in his own world and it's not real.
Right.
I would argue that can be a very good experience for people. For the purpose in serious games for learning, to be able to do things when you're immersed in something brings it to life, it makes it real, and therefore you learn better. And that is a proven fact. I can give you some examples. A good example would be that whenever you fly in an airplane, the person who's flying that plane has worked on a simulator. Every 6 months, they have to go and learn on a simulator, new rules, laws, and all the rest of it. And it's essentially a game that he is playing. The games we developed were for some of it was for the military, and it was very interesting when you saw soldiers come in and play military games, how serious it was to them, how real it was, and how that experience was able to instruct them and make them learn things that they could not learn running around in a field, you know, pretending to shoot guns at each other or whatever they were doing. That is proven that all of these industries, including the medical industry that I worked in as well, all of these groups see the value in gaming. And for us as Christians, we need to know that games are always a form of training, and immersion can be a virtue. The other side of it is experience. You can do things in games that you can't do in real life. That can be a problem, of course. There's obvious reasons that's a problem.
Yes.
It's also a really good thing, though. For you to be able to experience things you can't do in real life can glorify God in giving you experiences that he has in his world that maybe you can't do. Simple examples. No, I can't get to the ski slopes now, but I could play a skiing game. I'm never going to own a Ferrari, but I can drive a Ferrari. There's all these things which can glorify God as experiences that we can experience in video games and enjoy them and glorify God in them.
That's awesome. You never fail to impress me. Let's take a look real fast at the evolution of video games. So that video, I think, is really cool because it shows kind of a progression from the start of video games with, like, you know, Pong, the little ball going back and forth, to all the way 2013 and above, where you see kind of a major shift in just the artistry, the immersive experience, just the level of what they can actually do is so expansive, just beyond what we ever, I think, even imagined. And it's awesome. It's really cool. Obviously, though, there were some clips there and about some pretty violent stuff in the video games. Now, obviously, we're not advocating those sorts of things, showing you the progression of how video games have actually grown in terms of, again, the level of skill and artistry. But that's what I want to get to right now, Colin. What do we say to the person, and we're about to end the segment, but I'd like to give you a little blip right now. What do we say to the person that says, yeah, but look at those clips you just showed there. A lot of violence, a lot of stuff that's like horror movie kind of stuff. What do we say as Christians about that? I mean, how do we, A, protect our kids from that, and B, really rationalize entering into this industry if that's the sort of thing that's prevalent?
Well, I would rationalize that we should enter the industry to take dominion because of those problems. There's no doubt that there is a problem, significant problem with the overuse of violent video games. Now, that can be overstated, but I certainly think we have to be discerning on the content that we bring into our homes. And so there's types of games that I would allow in my home. In fact, when we look at it as a nation, we're actually reasonably discerning. We have a fairly good rating system on video games, just like film. And so parents do tend to be the ones that choose the games for the kids.
Hang there right there, Colin. We're going to get right back. ApologiaRadio.com. All right, guys, we're back now. Hey, Colin, so you were an animator. Yep. And that's your thing. You are an animator. That's your thing. I actually worked on Age of Empires 2. Remember that game?
That's fantastic. Yeah, one of my favorites.
Yeah, I did the motion capture. I did the stunt choreography, the fight scenes. So I'll show you the clip right now. Age of Empires 2. That's just a little sampling. Obviously, compared to today's standards, that's like, what is that? Low budget. but that was like in the year, what was that? Like 1999, or I think we filmed for that. Did the choreography, did the stunts, and everything for every character you see there was just me and my friends in the Age of Empires 2. And Age of Empires 2 was one of Microsoft's best-selling, all-time best-selling games on the PC. Yeah, I did, and also did Mission Impossible, the video game. I did stunts for that too.
What was that other game you did?
The Untouchable. Untouchable was actually a stand-up arcade game, and I was one of the fighting characters that. So I did a lot of motion capture for video games myself. We're both in this sinful realm of video games. but help us with what you were saying as we left that last segment. We were talking about the rating system.
There is a rating system, and the point is that people need to be discerning about the stuff that they bring into their homes. There is a problem with pietism in the Christian community, as you know, where they object to involvement in art or theater, and film has been harmed. Our position in the film industry has been harmed by that philosophy that has been there in fundamentalism and all the rest of it. I think we're getting away from that and allowing people to see the merit and engagement in different things like politics or technology or economics, and take stewardship in those areas. The context of violence, that's really the question I would ask. If violence, I would say that violence is a legitimate part of video gaming. It just depends on the context. And there's certainly a bad context where it's all about killing lots of people and innocent people and doing things that you have in Grand Theft Auto. But I think there's other places where in our real lives we could potentially experience violence and understand it and see its place within video gaming as well. As I've mentioned, in terms of training, that works really well. But also in terms of entertainment, I'd also say there's a legitimate part of it. Just like in film, I would argue there's a legitimate place for violent actions in the right moral context. And that's why Christians should be engaged in making those choices at the creator level, not just at the gamer level where we're all consumers, but I would say we have to be active at the creator, producer level.
Excellent. Gentlemen?
Well, I think it seems to me like you wouldn't have somebody say, well, I'm not going to get involved with, say, the drug industry because drugs are so bad, right? Like, there's a good place for, drugs and stuff, but there's also bad. It ends badly. It becomes idolatry. And so it seems like a lot of Christians have kind of taken that stance, but it doesn't really follow logically if you really press someone on the issue.
Yeah, I would say that's exactly it. And I think that when you look at the Bible talks about not passing judgment on questions of what people eat or drink, we need to do that in terms of what people play in their leisure lives. There's certainly sinful practices and very, very sinful games. But in terms of the liberty we have as Christians, there's a real place for us to get enjoyment in our lives, our leisure lives, which no one can deny that has to be a part of our existence. Playing is something we are all programmed to do. So we need to figure out how we play and how, what kind of games we play, that's an important question we want to answer.
Here's the thing, Elliot, I want the Christian Star Wars, like the Christian that makes the next Star Wars franchise. You know what I'm saying? Mm. The next franchise that's excellent film, it's great acting, it's a great script, made by a Christian, glorifies God, represents faithfully the biblical worldview, and is creative and awesome. And I want to see the next, what's a good, like, famous platform game that's, like, everyone wants? Like, Oblivion or Skyrim, like, made by a Christian, right?
Sure.
Okay.
I think some of this comes, at least for me, when I think about how we look at movies and games and everything else, games in particular, is that we've sort of as a culture put games into a corner, right? It's not looked at as the same way as movies. And I wanted to read you a quote, which you probably have heard at some point in your life, and I kind of wanted to get your take on it. This is from Roger Ebert. To my knowledge, no one in or out of the field has ever been able to cite a game worthy of comparison with the great dramatists, poets, filmmakers, novelists, and composers. That a game can aspire to artistic importance as a visual experience, I accept. But for most gamers, video games represent a loss of those precious hours we have available to make ourselves more cultured, civilized, and empathetic. So Roger Ebert was obviously not a proponent of video games as art. I want to know what your take on that is, and just curious to see how that's been changed over time.
That's wild that he actually said that. That's wild.
Yeah, this was obviously, I think this was before, like, PlayStation 2 era.
Okay.
So right around there. But yeah, Colin, I was just curious as what you think about video games and art.
He was probably right in that era. I mean, there's
sure.
A point where
era, yeah.
Gaming technology has moved on so much, and we've gone from, you know, basic coin-op stuff where it's all frenetic and fast for short periods of time, you know, 25 cents worth, up to where we are today. Storytelling has become extremely sophisticated in gaming technology right now. And it's a similar way to, he may have said the same thing about television back in the day. And they'll look at the quality of television. We're going to the Breaking Bads and other types of extended storytelling and finding better quality there because they're able to do more with their characters over a longer period of time. And people are enjoying that. They're consuming media in a different way as well. So they're looking at long-term binge watching, if you want to call it that. And storytelling has changed. And I think games are catching up to that. We're seeing games bring in film noir elements and modern and old cinematic ideas, characters that, you know, build a franchise with deep stories. There's also opportunities that you can't do in film, and that's the beauty of it.
Right.
You can have stories that path off and have multiple different conclusions just based on your choices within the game.
Yeah.
I think we're not quite at the level. We've gone through several golden eras of technology and gaming. We're just about to enter into the augmented reality and the virtual reality gaming era, which will be, I think, changing, will absolutely change our culture. And I think we're going to see experiences that film will not be able to compete with.
Wow.
I really believe that.
All right, guys, Colin Gunn, more in the after show. You guys can head on over to apologiaradio.com. That's where we have our after show. Sign up for the All Access, and you get to listen to the rest of the after show, and go to missionalwear.com, pick up one of these awesome shirts from the company that supports our church and our mission. That's been Skinny Jeans. That's Luke the Bear, and that's our warning. I'm Jeff Durbin, and we'll catch you guys next time. The conversation is going to continue at apologiaradio.com. That's where we're going to have our after show. We're going to have more content, more conversations, some really great stuff. You go over there to get it at apologiaradio.com by becoming All Access. Go check it out. All right, guys, we're in the after show now, still with Colin Gunn. While we're talking about video games, why don't you go ahead and Google search Colin Gunn, get a couple of his films. They're awesome. Need to see them. In particular, the one we did on the last episode we had Colin on was Wait Till It's Free. Need to see it. It's awesome. It's very well done. He also did Indoctrination, which if your kids are in public school, you should take a look at.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah.
So I want to kind of unleash the beast right now is what I want to do. I want to unleash Elliot, who's, by the way, Elliot had his own video game podcast.
Okay. So let's. It wasn't mine. I just kind of jumped in on it later.
Well, okay, well, you were okay. You were
I was on
a
it.
Game podcast and sort of an expert of sorts.
Well, kind of.
Okay.
I don't know if an expert.
Oh, I think you're very. I think you're kind of an
in
expert.
In this level. Room, yeah, probably.
Okay. Yeah.
In this room, for sure.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and unleash the beast, Elliot. You wanted to talk about the new thing that I was actually just watching a video this morning on it. The virtual reality. Which kind of existed in a weird way, like in the early 90s. They tried it. The thing you put over your head, you kind of went through it. It was just awful. It didn't really work well. But now we're in a new place. It's going to go to a whole new level and talk about that.
Cool. Well, I mean, as we were breaking, Colin and I were talking about, I was asking him about trying to put this all together and how he's explaining why it's important for us to evolve be a part of the evolution of video games in terms of the technology, because as we spoke about on the show with that Roger Ebert quote, you know, there was some, oh yeah, maybe they really weren't forms of art back then when the graphics sucked and everything else. So now we're getting to a point where the graphics are really great. Well, what's the next step after that? It's full on immersion. And so from a storytelling standpoint, and especially as Christians, you know, the temptation, right? The first thing people think of when they're like, we're going to have virtual reality is, most likely, like, well, people are going to use that for virtual porn. And that's everybody's, like, worry, right? And I'm not going to say that that's not something to be concerned about. But as Christians, how, Colin, looking at this from your perspective, maybe if you're not directly involved in it, what are some sort of ideas and some things that you can think about that lend itself well to exploring this medium as it grows into a virtual sort of augmented reality?
Right. So I think I mentioned during the TV show, where we're going is so significant. You can't undermine how virtual reality and as Jeff, as you mentioned, there was a rough start in the 90s. They didn't have the technology then to make it what it will become. They don't actually have the technology right now for it to be what is the goal, which is full immersion. And what that means is you will have a difficulty telling the difference between reality as you see it through the goggles or however it's put in your eyeballs through the reality around you. My argument has been that we will achieve that in our lifetime. We will get to the stage where it will be impossible to tell reality from the virtual world. And again, there's the big concern about what that would mean for us. But if we don't know that that is going to come, we won't be prepared for it. And also we have to understand that that can be a very wonderful and beautiful thing to be able to experience things that you can't otherwise experience. And we know this is going to happen. So there's Moore's Law, which would dictate that the speed of processors doubles every 2 years. What that means is John Lasseter, who made Toy Story, he said in 2010 that they could render Toy Story in real time. So that's from the early 90s through to 2010. They're able now to render out Toy Story 1 in real time on their render farm. And what that means is we could be in a virtual Toy Story as it was rendered in terms of the quality of it. What that means is that in 20 years from now, the films that we are looking at and the quality of rendering, they're completely convincing to our eyes as we sit and watch the new Star Wars and all the rest of it. 20 years from now, the idea is that we will be able to render all of that in real time and be fully immersed in it. And at that point, all bets are off of how that will change our lives and our culture in relation to our entertainment. I'm not saying it's the demise of film, but I'm saying that most people will move towards that as their primary form of leisure entertainment. And also, I would argue, not to go all snow crash on you, living in a world that does not exist. And that, to me, is why we need to be futurists in relation to this technology.
So would you think it's important then for us as believers then to people like yourself who are Christians and are into the game industry to get in on the ground floor while this is new? Because just like with anything, right? I mean, it's going to take time to develop it. You're going to want to perfect the technology and so on and so forth. But how important is it for us as believers to really grasp a hold of this technology before the world eventually does?
Absolutely, we got to figure out how to use it, and we are the point I'm trying to make in talking it up and saying how significant it is that it is as significant as the other developments we've talked about. So the internet came along, and most of us started engaging in it in the 90s, and that ended up with certainly difficult areas of people's lives right now, but also very good. We're talking over the internet right now, great blessings to our lives and to our churches in relation to the good use of technology. This virtual reality and augmented reality world that is coming is going to be so significant. Now, whether we're in there and what we're doing in it, and it's not a commercial idea of us being there, it's mainly a worldview idea of what can we do in that sphere. We're maybe not the ones developing the technology, but we'll certainly be the ones using it. We'll certainly be the ones that may have control over aspects of how it can be used or not used. And so we just need to understand it. To be a futurist, which in my way is an optimistic post-mill view of what happens in the future, that we embrace it and look for the goodness of God in the future, we just need to have a handle on what is going to happen. And if we don't know how significant this virtual reality change will be in our lives, we're going to be either missing out or misusing it, or, you know, it's just not what Christians should be doing. We should be the pioneers. We should at least have be involved as best we can in this new technology. It really is significant. And I would argue we're going to see the demise of the screen with augmented reality. We're going to not need screens anymore. We're going to be, generally speaking, in an augmented world, which will be a very meaningful and useful thing for us. And within the next 20 years, our lives, our immersion in our phones are going to be moved into this augmented world that will have a different form of life. And the virtual reality side of it, our form of entertainment, will have a greater depth and experience to it that we, I think, don't really know about. Even gamers now, sure, as fun as games can be and as immersive as they can be, we have to understand it's going to be an amazing significance. Once we've got full immersion achieved, it's going to change our lives and for the better.
So,
for example,
this conversation is so awesome. Just think about what we're saying. Once we get full immersion, it's just like, this is so crazy.
Are we talking about baptism?
I know, right? It's like, I want
virtual
you guys to stop
baptism
for a second and think about what we're talking about. We're talking about this fully immersive experience in virtual reality. We'll be able to step into another world.
It
and
sounds very biblical.
Adventures. And it's crazy. I mean, think about, like, there's a great thing. Is it on Netflix? It talks about the origin of video games.
There is one. Yeah. I cannot remember the name of it. It's narrated by Sean Astin.
Yeah, but it's so great. They just show these guys at MIT, right?
Right.
And this little pink.
Yeah. And this huge computer room.
Hours and hours and hours with the ball going pink, pink, pink. And now we're talking about full immersion and like this crazy experience is so exciting. I can't imagine what it's going to be like 10,000 years from now. What's it going to be like?
Called Video Games the Movie that chronicles all of that. And you can get that on Netflix. Video Games the Movie. It's fantastic.
That's what we're
talking
about.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
I think that is it.
That's
okay.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Colin, I did want to ask you something real quick, if you don't mind, and if you guys don't mind me going off for a second.
Can I before we change subject, one question? Can you define what fully augmented means for people like me that have no idea what you're talking about?
Well, augmented reality is not VR, where you're fully in a world and everything you see is generated by the computer. Augmented reality is where they have really two layers or several layers where you're looking at some things that are projected into your eyeball, and you're looking at reality, things around you, and the two are
okay
together, so to speak.
Okay,
and so
I gotcha.
There's games that people are playing where they're walking around their house and they've got aliens coming out of the walls.
Wow.
And things like that. That's a game side of it.
I remember being in Texas playing Atari, and I was playing E.T., the one that like
the worst
crashed
game
the
ever
system and destroyed it, right?
Just
wow.
A bunch of them buried
Raiders
out.
Raiders of the Lost
Ark,
Pac-Man.
MASH. I used to play MASH all the time.
I remember sitting on the floor, this little joystick for hours. And then I remember before I went to Japan, Nintendo came out. And that's where I got for Christmas. I got Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt. And then I went to Japan. And I remember that every time they released a new game on Nintendo, I was on the military base. And there was a line out the door of the BX all the way down the street of military GIs and young kids on the base fighting for the new game, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Yeah.
And I remember getting Mike Tyson's Punch-Out and playing it till my fingers literally were bleeding.
Yeah.
Because the controller was shaped in such a way.
It was terrible.
It was just awful.
Yeah.
Blisters. And I remember staying up, sneaking playing Nintendo in Japan till like 3-4 in the morning, with school the next morning, playing Super Nintendo and all these different games. Obviously, we're not condoning that for any children watching.
I believe that's called idolatry. TV.
That would be the idolatrous aspect. I was not a Christian, so you have to forgive me. Give me some grace. Okay. But there's a Christian way to handle those games. But what's so exciting to me is that I got to watch this whole thing, like, from basically its genesis to where it's at today. And it's so exciting to think we're at the cusp of where everything is going to that next level, and we're going to get to experience it. And it's just, it's awesome. I'm geeking out. And I'd like to see that. Here's what, this is my only thing on my input right now is this. I'd love to see a Christian who's consistent, loves Jesus, be the one that the world looks to for the greatest stories, the greatest games, the greatest artistry, and that Christians begin to set the standard to make such great games and great stories that are without the sinful content that you can really just enjoy, right? And not have to, you know, wade through the sinful stuff, but it's just great story, great games. So that's what I'm looking forward to, is the Christian that does that. Colin, I hope you're the guy.
I hope so too. I mean, our goal is to engage, use the technology. I was talking to Elliot a little bit about it, in terms of what we think we can do first. You know, it's nice to think we'll do the blockbusters. You know, Grand Theft Auto cost about $250 million to make. It made $800 million in the first day that it opened. It's almost a billion-plus dollar game. I think $1.5 billion to $2 billion game. I mean, it's phenomenal. Yeah. Games like that. Grand Theft Auto was invented in Scotland, by the way. A lot of people don't know that. We're looking at that and we're saying, what can we do over here? Now, what I can do right now isn't the counter GTA. It is going to be something else. But I was talking to Elliot about retro gaming, how people are really interested in that, where there's a simplicity to the graphics, but you can still build layers of storytelling on top of it. And that's what we're looking at right now. So we're hoping to find our feet in this. And it's a change for us as we've made documentaries, but it's something I personally have been thinking about for years of doing something that we think, and you know, with our shared worldview, I think you can anticipate that you will like it. So we're really serious about getting this going and hopefully have something to put out next year.
That's awesome. Yeah, that was one thing I wanted to, I'm glad you brought it back up, because something we were just talking about again during the break here was just talking about how, yeah, it's extremely exciting thinking about the future, and I'm as excited as anyone, trust me. But also, you know, I'm in my 30s, and I remember playing games like Final Fantasy, the first one, which had barely a story, but being so immersed into those kind of simplistic graphics, I did a lot of, you know, those early RPGs forced me to do a lot of reading, because I had a hard time, you know, reading books and being focused on it, but all of those early Final Fantasy games, I spent tons of time, you know, a lot of dialogue and everything. So there's a really great chance to express story through that older medium. So I did want to ask, you know, do you think that the retro gaming culture and the retro sort of uprising that's happened is a fad, or do you think that is something that's going to be lasting as games continue to evolve? Because it's kind of like, you almost kind of think of it, we're sort of in the stage right now where, you know, video killed the radio star. Well, video comes out, nobody's going to listen to the radio, and we see that that's not the case. So do you anticipate that'll be the same kind of shift for gaming as well? As we get more advanced, we're still going to hold on to some of those classic forms of storytelling?
Absolutely. I think we're always going to do that. I think the retro appeal will shift in terms of the generations, but you know, you look at the average gamer, he's been playing games for 16 years, average male gamer, 16 years they've been playing for. And so that extends them back to 2000. That doesn't seem too long ago for me, but you know, I've been playing for, you know, 20, 25 years. So we have this history of involvement and visual involvement. The retro side, when you look at, Wreck-It Ralph, which is completely immersed in that retro style.
Right.
And it's a beautiful, enjoyable film in a lot of ways. And I think that's something that our culture understands as video gaming. It's not going to go away. I think if we realize what is valuable in the simplicity of things, and that's something an artist will tell you, there really is something great in the simple designs, the little Pac-Man who's just basically a circle with a little triangle taken out of it. And it's the play that makes it work. It's the design of the game and the story that makes it work, not the graphics. And so, you know, and that's that would be a similar argument to film. These big blockbusters that come out during the summer don't hold a huge interest to me. The story's not good or deep. The characters aren't deep enough. I think in indie gaming, you do get good stories. You know, an example right. would be, as I mentioned to you off the air, To the Moon is a good example where you have a story which set is put in a really basic RPG maker, little program that you can get and put, that was put together, but a beautiful music and an interesting and engaging story. It looked like a game that was made in 1991, but had this depth and story and became immensely popular and won a bunch of awards. Right. And that's where I think we should look into realistic games that we can make in a world in our economy. And I think people will recognize good storytelling. We need to have good art, but simplicity, that's not what we're talking about. Sure. You can still have good art and it be simple and pick up on stylistic themes. I think that's where you want to be, is to not just kind of reinvent the wheel. Look at where games have come from, what people like to play, and sort of build on top of that.
Right. So that kind of leads me to this question then. Like if I'm a, let's say I'm just a guy sitting here and I want to make a video game, but I don't know how to program. I don't know what my first steps are. You mentioned just now the program RPG Maker, and you had mentioned another one. I can't remember the name of it. Unity. Okay. What are some things that maybe Christians listening today that want to start to explore the idea of making their own game? What are some first steps that we can take?
Well, there's relatively simple steps to get into the technology. It's good to go work for a company, which is what I have done. I worked for multiple companies, but there now with where we are, it's similar to film in that, all of a sudden cameras became accessible. All of a sudden video editing software became available to the consumer. Well, games is the same. What was the stumbling block? Isn't there anymore. So hardware isn't important anymore. You can make them on a normal PC. The other side of it too is the software, what is called the games engine. So every game is an engine that drives it, what pushes these graphics. There's two sides to games. There's the coding, and then there's the art that you produce. And so usually it's not one person who does both. It's usually a getting together of someone who knows how to code and has a bit of skill there, and someone who knows how to create art. There, although that's changing with Unity and other indie gaming, where there's individuals that are able to produce their own games because the content of the programming side of it is made easier by the game engine. So the game engine gives you a bunch of tools to help you make that game. You can find courses online, and we've watched one that takes you through using Unity to produce a game. So you learn how to code in it, and you learn how to produce the art and all the rest of it. So these tools are really cheap. Some of them are free. You can go get them, just learn how to use them. YouTube's a good source for tutorials. So it is an accessible world for a lot of people. That's what people are finding now. You can get into games just by practice. Going to university is sort of redundant in that sphere. Just learn it, become good at it, and go from being a gamer to being a producer, I think, is a really good shift. You can just spend your life playing games, but there's a point where you're like, this, I enjoy this, but I want to be the creator. And that's why I would definitely encourage people, if they have an artistic aptitude or they're a coder, games is a really good direction to go.
Cool. I had just another question pop up, because this is something that I think we see a lot, and thankfully there's a shift, I think, especially recently in movies now, but people, in my experience at least, anytime I've seen movies in the past, I haven't seen your movies, so this is no knock on you, but movies, right. Movies or games, we joked about Bible Adventures, but they're just really, really bad, right? Like, right. They're super corny, and you feel like, How do you make a video game that's let's say it's not Grand Theft Auto, right? But it isn't afraid to shy away maybe from themes that are more mature, or how do we balance that in telling something that's meaningful and something that's relevant, like whether it's a simple simple fighting game, or if it's right. Because we're talking right now about role playing games essentially, right? Because you can just write up dialogue, and they're not particularly violent on an 8-bit or 16-bit right. format. But let's say right. we want to come out with the next Grand Theft Auto type of game, but not using those same, like how do we avoid going too far? How do we make it so that the industry pays attention and says, well, these guys aren't just pandering to you know, a Christian, as Jeff likes to say, homeschool woodpeckers. but how do we create something that's taken seriously?
Yeah, I think the problem with a lot of modern Christian film is they don't have a sophisticated enough theology to make good content. And so when we know this, so we watch the average Christian feature film, the content, the characters are unsophisticated and two-dimensional. It makes its way to the altar call as soon as it can. It doesn't have any real problems, any reality to it, real life. And that's changing. There's some good films. I'm not totally saying this about all Christian films. People are really trying hard to get Christian films right. And the problem is often, I think, their theology. Being Reformed as I am, I believe that I have a sophisticated, and I'm not just blowing my own trumpet because I borrowed every part of my worldview from the people before me. So I believe that Reformed people have a heritage of theology and philosophy and morality and politics that comes behind us. So we're not just about, a Jesus movie pushing people to make a decision for him. We can be that. I wouldn't exclude that, but we're much more than that. And so we are concerned with reality as it is right now, and we have things to say. And that's why I've ended up in documentaries rather than feature films. It's just easier in a way. And there's things that we can do that can be edifying and fun in that context. But I think having a worldview to prepare you and having ethics and an understanding, whereas the modern evangelical world has very little of that. It's a bit of a mess in a lot of those areas. So what they produce in terms of a game will be Bible-type games. And I'm not against those per se, because kids learning the Bible is a great thing. But for adults, which is what I think we're talking about here, is what would an adult want to play instead of GTA? I think there's a way to do it. I absolutely believe it. And it will be about driving story and giving people tasks. A good example I often give people is think of the different types of formats of gameplay. People tend to think GTA, they think, stealing cars and shooting people and all the horrible things in that game. The other side of it is, though, there's things in GTA, if I've played early versions of it, the driving experience, the using multiple vehicles, multiple storylines, picking your storylines, things that actually are not immoral in and of themselves could be reused in some other context. The missions that you get sent on obviously would be completely different, but there's certainly places for people doing things that are right in the context of a story that would be exciting. I think of a game a few years ago called Saboteur, which is a story of the French Resistance. And so you're in a context that may be similar gameplay to GTA, but you would be running around doing things for the French Resistance, which would include blowing up buildings and things like that. Mm. Of course, you can kill zombies and Nazis, and you won't get into trouble. And so there's a place for things like that could make sense and could be right and moral.
Yeah.
The other side of it, too, is gameplay isn't locked down to that. There's stealth is an important part of game playing. So there's popular games that base most, Assassin's Creed would be an example where stealth is a significant part. It's not just bloodthirsty and repetitive killing. There's gameplay elements that we could focus on a bit more and make them more exciting. And so, yeah, I think it's just a design issue. If you just focus on it being a Christian game and you don't solve the design problems, you're not going to really get anywhere. I think it has to be thought out fairly seriously. That's sort of what we're trying to figure out right now.
Cool, man. Thanks.
A discussion you will hear nowhere else, I think,
right,
than Apologia Radio and TV.
Should we watch some Bible adventures?
Let's play, as we wrap up the show here, the after show, let's play a little clip of what not to do? Question mark. Today?
While I'm pulling this up, I was thinking not to Jesus juke the conversation, which I'm about to do. But we're talking about the virtual reality and stuff. Like, how cool would it be to have like a virtual reality training thing for Mormonism or something like that? Because that's something, right, that we get asked all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, that people want to role play with us and stuff. Like, how cool would it be to have something like that where you can here, just check this out, and people could just learn how to reach the cults.
Little dialogue tree, in Fallout.
You're talking to Joseph Smith, you're watching him.
Yeah.
You're watching him fool everybody with the golden plates and that augmented reality, pretty sweet.
Yeah. Okay. So anyways, I'm going to Jesus juke now with Bible adventures. Here we go.
Okay. So this is where we've come from, not where we're going.
Right.
So, all right, Colin, thank you for joining us on the show today, brother.
My pleasure. Just great to talk to you guys.
Always is, man.
It was awesome,
dude.
This
was a really cool conversation, and I think, again, something you only really will hear on Apologia Radio and Apologia TV. So excited about what you're doing, man. It just brings great encouragement to my heart to see somebody that's so focused in upon every area of life and trying to be faithful and do things to the glory of God. And you're doing it in the realm of video games. I love it. So thank you guys so much, guys. If you're watching this right now, you're part of our All Access. You participate with us in ministry. Go over to Apologia Studios on YouTube. Catch some of the new content we put up there, the series, the plot, all the stuff that we're doing is happening because of you and your participation. So thank you guys so very much. God bless you guys. That's Luke the Bear.
Peace
That's
out.
Elliot Skinny Jeans. We got the Woodpecker on the back right now. Check out his new film, actually, his little clip he put up on YouTube. It's a Woodpecker production
on Apologia
Studios. Randy, Steady Randy, on the camera right there. And, of course, we have Marcus Pittman, King Ginger, filming this whole thing. Thank you guys so much. God bless you.